Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Tad referenced tonight, Memorial Day is tomorrow. And before we just go into our message, I do want to just bring this up one more time. This is such an important thing. Do we have anybody here tonight and you have a family member who paid the ultimate price while serving in our military? They gave our life. Is anybody here like that tonight? Would you stand for us? Anybody here? You have a family member who paid the ultimate price. Yes. Amen. Don't be afraid. Stand up. We want to honor you. Praise God. Amen. We honor you. Because as we meet with our families and have fun and fellowship with our families, you have sacrificed a member of your family. And we acknowledge this and thank you for your sacrifice. We remember and thank God for your loved one. Praise God. Amen. Those of you watching, no doubt, have experienced the same thing. Some of you watching, someone in your family gave their life, the ultimate sacrifice, while serving in the military. And we honor you. We honor your family tonight. So, tonight, if you have your Bible, from the book of Colossians, we're going to start. I'm reading mostly in the New American Standard. I have a couple of versions, a couple of scriptures that are in the, I think one's in the Amplified and one's in the New Living. But we're going to start here tonight in Colossians chapter 3, if you will, if you have your Bible. How many know the Bible's a living book? The Bible is alive. And anytime we apply faith to the Word, God will speak to you. I said tonight, if you'll apply faith to the Word of God, He'll speak to you through His Word. His word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight, from Colossians chapter 3 in the New American Standard, reading from verses 12 through 17. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Praise God. What a powerful verse of Scripture. You know, when you read Colossians chapter 3, really, it's written to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, those of us who have been born again by the blood of the Lamb. How many people do I have in here tonight? You've been born again by the blood of the Lamb. You would consider yourself in Christ. Well, I tell you, life is different because of who we are in Christ. Everything has changed because of who we are in Christ. Our attitude ought to be different because of who we are in Christ. The way we talk to other people ought to be different because of who we are in Christ. The way we respond to adversity ought to be different because of who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ changes everything. And though the odds before you met Jesus, the odds may have been stacked up against you, and you may have come from the wrong side of the tracks or whatever you feel like you didn't have, but now that you are in Christ, everything has been turned around in your favor. I said, you're a blessed individual because you are in Christ tonight. And yet sometimes there are things. Colossians chapter 3 is a great passage of Scripture for the New Testament believer to read and then to give a diagnostic on how they're living and on their faith. Colossians chapter 3 is a great way to, if there's something not working right in our Christian walk or in our faith walk, Colossians chapter 3 is a great way to do a diagnostic check and to check it out. So tonight I just want to share three things. Feel led by the Lord to feel these. He laid these three things on my heart to share tonight. And when I was a young man growing up,
young boy, whatever. My father, he taught me how to cut the grass, of course, and I didn't realize he had a bigger plan in mind when he taught me how to cut the grass. He taught me how to cut the grass, and then any of you guys here, you know, some of you ladies may know too. And then he said, "All right, you're going to be cutting the grass from now on." And so I cut the grass, you know. And my dad said, "You know, you cut the grass, you trim the grass." And then he also showed me how to sharpen the lawnmower blade, and he showed me how to gap the spark plug, and he showed me how to fix anything that would go wrong with a lawnmower. And so it was my job to keep the yard looking good. And I never forget, my neighbor came over one day, and my neighbor said, "You know, I see you cutting your yard. It looks so good." He said, "I wonder if you'd cut my yard every week and let me pay you." The light bulb went off in Brother Bill's head. And I said yes, went and talked to my dad. My dad said, "Oh, I don't care. You can make all the money you want, Bill." He said, I'll keep your field with gas." He said, "You just make sure our yard is always cut, that our yard's always trimmed, and that our yard always looks right." He said, I don't want to pull up and our yard doesn't look right. I want our yard to look right, and then I don't care whose yard you cut. Take the mower." And so I went and cut the neighbor's yard, and we set up where I'd cut his yard. I remember every Wednesday I would cut his yard. Yeah, he paid me $3. That was big money back then, man. I thought I was big money grip. $3 on top of my allowance. Man, I was rolling in the cash. But then the neighbor next to him saw how I cut his yard, and the neighbor came to me and said, "Hey, what about if you cut my yard and I'd pay you too?" And I said, "Oh, okay." So I set him up on a certain day and cut his grass. And then somebody else saw that and said, "What if you'd cut our yard and I'd set them up and cut their grass?" And then I remember the day like it was yesterday, when my dad rolled up and he had a riding lawnmower. Yeah, big old 8-cylinder riding lawnmower. And my dad said, "Bill, however you want to use this lawnmower, you know, son, it's yours. Just cut as many yards as you want." And I was all over that neighborhood making money. Okay, why are you telling us that story? Because when something went wrong with the lawnmower, I'd say probably 90% of the time, you could find the trouble in one of three areas. That is, you could find the trouble in the fuel. If the lawnmower wasn't getting fuel, or so many times today, you know, the fuel is bad. You know, so many times people come out of the winter into the spring, try to start the lawnmower. Lawnmower won't start, just got water in the fuel. And they spend a lot of money. But really, a lot of times, if you just check that fuel, if it's got water in it, it's not going to start. So fuel is one common occurrence that can mess up the performance of a lawnmower. You say, "What are you talking about tonight?" I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about the importance of the New Testament believer taking a look at their faith. Because sometimes there are just common things that if we would check these areas, our faith would work at an optimum level. I wish I had one amen in here. And so fuel is one of those things, checking the fuel, you know. And we had a mower that wouldn't start after the winter. And Tony said, she said, "Boo, just go buy another mower." I said, "Oh, no, girl, it's going to be one of these areas." I said, I'm going to check the fuel. I buy no new mower. But here's what I'm saying to you. It could be the fuel. That's a common problem. But it also could be the fire. Is it getting fire? You know, the spark. That's what the spark plug's for. Is the engine getting proper fire? Is the plug gapped right? And has the plug become fouled? Or is the plug giving off the right spark and so forth? Because sometimes it's just not getting the right fire. Amen. And then you have to ask yourself, is it getting air? Is the engine getting air? Because if the engine doesn't have a capacity to breathe, then that'll keep it from starting. The fuel, the fire, and air. Now that doesn't mean, you know, certainly there could be many other things wrong with a lawnmower engine. But those things comprise about 80, maybe 90% of what goes wrong with those types of engines, you know. And so with our faith, sometimes we're looking for big things that might be wrong. And the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And oftentimes there are three key areas that we need to check up on ourselves as New Testament believers. And Colossians chapter 3 leads us right down the diagnostic check here. And so the first one then is to let his love reign in you. That's my first point. Let his love. Check up on your love walk. You see, if faith is not working right, then what we ought to do first as believers is check up on our love walk. Because so often we're clogging our own pipeline. You know, when I went to check the fuel on the lawnmower, man, I pulled out a little jet that the fuel flows through, and it's just a little small. You could barely, it's about the width of a needle. You could barely get a needle through there. So it's not very big, the opening. But that opening was clogged with just tiny little sediments. And you know, I cleared that out. It was just a little tiny. You would think that little stuff right there would not keep a mower from starting. But I cleared that out and barely fired right up. Sometimes it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And our willingness, you know, the Bible says, Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing in what? If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And sometimes we can be obedient and not willing. And sometimes we can be willing but not obedient. But obedience has to do, willingness and obedience has to do also with our attitude. With our attitude, obeying God in our attitude. And part of that is, listen, walking in love toward all of those around us. Do you know that sometimes we so easily get out of love, don't we? Sometimes a New Testament believer will get out of love at the red light. Sometimes it don't take nothing more than a line at Walmart to get the New Testament believer out of love. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. We should not be so easily moved off of our love walk. I'm doing a better job teaching this on Sunday night than y'all are saying amen. I said, we ought not let people move us off of our love walk. Back to Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12 in the New Living. If you'd give this to me in the New Living, Colossians 3:12, this time from the New Living. Verse 12 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults. I like that. The Bible says that you and I, we ought to be so filled with love that we make allowance for one another's faults. You know, sometimes we live our lives like somebody can't make a mistake. There are some husbands, they live their life like their wife can't make a mistake. She didn't do something right. She burnt the egg. Something happened wrong. And now you all are flustered about it. That girl can't make a mistake. She's got to live and walk on eggshells. She can't make a mistake. There's something wrong with your love walk. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I said, when you don't give people the allowance to make a mistake, there's something wrong with your love walk. You'll be easily moved off your position of love. And of course, your faith won't work right. And you'll receive, the reason you receive is A, because God is merciful, and B, because God will help us as far as he can. He loves you and I so much, he'll always help us as far as he can. I said, amen. But you may be receiving at a trickle when God wants you to receive at a flow. I said, amen. And sometimes people get used to receiving at a trickle and they just accept that as normal. But Christ died to give you and I an abundant life, a life that overflows with his blessing. I said, amen. And he don't want anything to be clogging up the pipeline. And you can't afford to let people get you so flustered and bother the people, get you so upset so easily, and you're all upset and mad, and you're listen, you need to stir up the love of God on the inside of you. Because getting out of love like that will impact your ability to receive from God. And so let his love reign in you. Let his love reign in you. The scripture said there, clothe yourselves. And when the Bible says clothe yourself, that means God is saying to you and I, there's something he wants us to do. There's a responsibility that you and I have in this matter. Amen. And every husband ought to stir up the love of God on the inside of him. Every wife ought to stir up the love of God on the inside of her. Your man can't make a mistake? You got to make allowance for that man to be able to make a mistake. The person on your job, the person you work with, they can't make a mistake? Customer can't make a mistake? Somebody said, the customer is always right.
Oh, no, they ain't.
But from a customer service perspective, you always treat them like they're always right, even if they're not. Can I say it that way? We have to make allowance for people to make mistakes. Somebody cut you off in traffic. So what? Make allowance for people to make a mistake. Your young person made a mistake. So what? Make an allowance for them to make a mistake. I remember John Paul wrecked my Buick. He took my Buick and backed it into his brother's car in the driveway. Oh, man, he was traumatized. His brother was really traumatized. He came to see me and said, Dad, I wrecked your Buick. I said, oh, man, that thing is just a car. I said, one day that'll just be rust and bolts. I said, it's you I care about. Are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, then that's all I care about. A car can be fixed. What was I doing? I was making allowance for him to make a mistake. I said, amen. He said, but my brother's mad. He's mad. I said, your brother ain't your dad. We'll fix his car. We'll take care of him. He said, oh, thanks, Dad. You know, God loves you and I unconditionally. And he has poured that love in our heart. And he's commanded you and I to love one another that way. And every child should have the good fortune to grow up loved unconditionally. And so many people have been treated with conditional love all their life that that's all they know. And even though they're believers, they love conditionally. And so nobody around them can make a mistake. If you make a mistake, no, why'd you do that? Yeah. But you're going to receive from God in a trickle-down format, as opposed to a flood of abundance, which is what he wants you to have. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:8 in the New American Standard, love never fails. You say, but brother preacher, you don't know what that person on my job did to me. I don't know what they did to you, but I know this, love never fails. You say, but brother preacher, you don't know what the person in my family did to me. I don't know what they did to you. I'm not justifying it, but I do know this, the Bible says love never fails. You say, but brother preacher, you don't know what my fellow Christian did to me. I don't know what your fellow Christian did. I'm not justifying, but what I do know is this, love never fails. Love will never fail. And so let his love reign in you. That's the first thing to check. That's the first thing to check. So if you're not receiving right, if something's not flowing right for you as a Christian, check up on your love walk. Let his love reign in you. Point number one. Point number two tonight, let his peace rule in your heart. You said, I'm still writing point number one. What was that? Let his love reign in you. What's point number two now? Let his peace rule in your heart. Let his peace rule in you. Let his peace rule in you. That's the point. Let his peace rule in you. Where do you get that? Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15. Look with me in the New Living here. It says Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. You know, peaceful people are thankful people, and thankful people are peaceful people. If you need more peace, the peace of God in your life, then check up on how much you're thanking him. Because if you'll increase your thanksgiving to God, you'll increase your capacity to receive peace from God. The scripture says here that we are called to actually live in peace, to live in peace, to live by peace, to be guided by peace. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. God's peace should rule us. God's peace should guide us. In the Amplified Classic, if you will, this same scripture, Colossians 3:15, in the Amplified Classic, if you will, Colossians 3:15, it says this, let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, there it is again, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. The Bible says, let the peace of Christ rule in our heart and let the peace of Christ act as umpire. Now, you know, growing up playing sports all my life, you know, when the umpire made the call, you might not have liked the call, but that was the call. And the umpire made the final call. Amen. And the Bible says that God's peace ought to be making the final call in our life. Amen. You know, I meet with lots of young folks who are trying to get ready to get married, and we go through premarital, giving them premarital advice and so forth. I always ask them initially, how do you know that this person is for you? You want to marry this person, but how do you know you got the right one? How do you know? I'm always listening to what they're going to say, you know. But I love it when they say, because I've got peace. I've prayed about it, and I got peace right down in here. That's the best answer. You know why? Because they're letting the peace of Christ rule in their heart. This fine woman over here on the front row. How did I know to marry her? How did I know? Down on the inside, I had peace that just ruled in my heart. I said, she's the right one. And she is the right one. Amen. Yeah. But so many times we're making decisions, but we're not allowing the peace of Christ to rule in our heart. But God's peace is there. For every decision we have to make, large and small, the peace of God is right there, ready. If we would ask God to help us, if we would yield and be sensitive to the peace, his peace is right there to lead us. And you see, sometimes somebody says, well, I prayed about something. I didn't get nothing. I don't feel nothing. Sometimes you have to go as much by what he doesn't say as by what he does say. Sometimes you just have to wait on God a little bit. I said, amen. And before you make major decisions, but any decision, I'm saying any decision, but certainly any major decision, but any decision. I said, God's there for us for every decision, big or small, big or small. Amen. I said, because God, he knows what you and I don't know. And he can see what you and I can't see. And he's the God who looks ahead and then provides. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And see, if we would follow his peace down on the inside. Now, what we do a lot of times, people just override that. They experience God's peace, but then they don't like what the Lord's leading them to do or not do, and so they override his peace. Yeah. Acts chapter 16, verse 7, Paul and his companions were traveling, and they were trying to decide which direction do we go. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Ghost said no. They tried to go into Asia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, said no. And so they went the only other way they could go that God had not said. He didn't tell them where to go. He just told them, don't go there. And when they prayed the other direction, don't go there. Yeah, but they listened. They didn't override it. What if they had over? Now, see, somebody said somebody could talk foolishly. Well, they were trying to do a good thing. They were trying to evangelize the whole world. They were trying to go into Asia. What's wrong? Did God not? How come God didn't want them to go into Asia? We don't know. The Lord was protecting them. I think it was a question of timing myself, because first of all, people were trying to kill him, and God was keeping them ahead of their, you know, persecutors. But secondly, you know, Acts, you read Acts 19:10, and it says all of Asia was evangelized. All of Asia heard the word. So just a few chapters later, Acts 16:7 said no, the Holy Spirit said no. But Acts 19:10, the Holy Spirit had them evangelize all of Asia. So oftentimes it's a timing thing. And you see, so often as Christians, we run off after we discover the will of God. We run off happy-go-lucky when the job is not done. We have a responsibility to discern not just the will, listen now, not just the will of God, but the timing of God. And once we know God's will, listen, we can't run off half-cocked because we know God's will. Okay, thank God. Once we discover his will, now we've got to get the timing right. But when we can flow with the knowledge of God's will plus the timing of God's will, oh, what a beautiful life that is for the New Testament believer. How do you get there? How do you get there? How can you know that? How can you reconcile both God's will with God's timing? Oh, that's where his peace comes in. Because he'll lead you and guide you by your peace. And young ladies, when you're dating a man and you want to know, is that the right man? Listen, if God don't give you peace, you better run the other way. Because he can look good, but he might be no good. I'm going to leave that alone. I said, young man, before you marry, you better pray. You better ask God. Is she the right one? Why? Because God will give you peace down on the inside. His peace will lead you and guide you. His peace will lead you and guide you and show you. Amen. You say, we're getting ready to purchase a home. Yeah, you better yield to the peace. Let his peace rule in your heart. Let his love reign in you. Let his peace rule in you. Yeah. The peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God. You know, when I don't have the peace of God, I stop moving. When I don't have the peace of God, I immediately slow down. I stop moving. I stop making decisions. I start waiting on God. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I always start this way. I say, Lord, you're always right. You're 100% right all of the time. You're 100% right. You got a perfect track record. You're faithful. You're 100% right all of the time. I'm just going to wait on you. Just going to wait on you. Yeah. And from cars to homes to major decisions, career decisions, just the peace of God. The peace of God. Let his peace rule. I remember working as a senior manager at FedEx Corporation. You know most of my stories. And man, everything just seemed like everything we touched as a senior manager just turned into gold. The Lord just blessed us. The Lord just blessed us. Senior manager of the year and making good money and things going well. Got a good staff. Got five managers working for me. Just blessed. And I remember my boss called and he said, man, we fixed everything in Tulsa. It's time to go to Miami. That was like music to my ears. Man, I wanted to go to Miami, Florida. Florida? Just mention Florida. And I start to daydream. Oh, the golf, the weather, the fishing, the beaches. Oh, is that heaven? No, I'm kidding. But Florida, you know, I want, you know. And he said, let's go to Miami. I thought, oh, man, I'd love to go to Miami. Went and prayed about it. You know what happened? Didn't have no peace. My head wanted to go. Found every reason to go. Could justify how much money we're going to make, what we're going to be doing. Oh, man, my head wanted to go. But down here in my heart, no peace. So I told my boss, I'm not going. I'm going to stay in Tulsa. He said, what? He said, man, come on, let's get out of Tulsa. He said, why? Why wouldn't you go? He said, if you come to Miami, Florida, when you leave Miami, Florida, you'll be a director or a VP with this company. And I said, I appreciate that, boss. I really do. He said, well, why won't you go? I said, I don't have peace. He said, I don't understand that. He said, I can't help you with anything like that. He said, if you want help with your career, I can help you with that. But I can't help you once you say it's about a peace. I can't help you with that. But I followed that peace. In the months ensuing, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen asked me to if I'd be willing to leave my business career and come serve as an associate pastor at Rhema Bible Church. And God could see what I could not see. He knew what I did not know. And following his peace has led to victory in my life over and over and over and over again. Let his peace rule. You're wondering what to do. You're wondering what direction to go. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. When it was time for John Paul to go to college, you know, man, we prayed about it. I taught him from a young age how to follow peace, how to follow after peace, follow after peace. Yeah. When it was time to go to law school, hey, follow after peace. Let's pray and follow after peace. Let's follow the peace of God. Let's follow after peace. You're getting ready to make a financial decision. You're getting ready to move away from here. Follow after peace. Let his peace rule in you. We got too many people overriding the peace of God. Don't override his peace. If you override his peace, override his peace, override his peace, it'll be much harder for you to sense his peace. But when you start to obey and listen and yield to the peace of the Lord, it'll be easier and easier and easier to sense his peace. Yeah. Let his love reign in you. Let his peace rule in you. Finally, let his word richly dwell in you. I said, let his word richly dwell in you. We're back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. New American Standard. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word richly dwell
in you. What a great place for us to check and do a diagnostic check on how we're doing spiritually. How much word are we getting? How much word are we taking in? How much word? Because you see, the word is a living book. The word is alive. Not only that, the word is anointed. And when we get that anointed word down on the inside of us, the word begins to change us. The word begins to mold us. The word begins to change wrong thinking. The word begins to change wrong thoughts. And because wrong thinking will lead to wrong believing. And you see, the word can straighten all that out. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. The word has that kind of power. And you see, the word is our litmus test. The word is the standard to which we compare all our goofy thoughts. I said amen. Anybody in here, you ever had a goofy thought? The word is the standard. We've got to compare every thought that we have. We've got to compare it to the standard of the word. And where it does not line up with the word, that's when we let the thought go. The thought ought to first line up with the word. I said the thought ought to first line up with the word. Somebody told me one time, they came to see me and said, well, I'm going to leave my husband. I said, is he cheating on you? He's beating on you? They said, oh, no, he's a good man. He works hard every day, go to church, love the Lord. Person said, I found my soulmate. I said, that's a bunch of junk. I don't even need to hear it. That's a bunch of junk. They said, but I had a dream. I said, I don't care about your dream. I don't care about your goofy dream. I gave the person my Bible. I said, here's my Bible right here. I said, turn to some scripture. I'm going to have you read. She read scripture. She read some more. She read some more. I said, every thought, everything you told me about your dream, about your goofy thought, everything that you told me, it don't line up with the word. Now just forget it. Just forget it. It's just the devil trying to ensnare you. It's the devil trying to trap you. He disguises himself as an angel of light. And then when people aren't full of the word, they fall prey to that. I said, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word. In the original language, it says every rhema word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I said, amen. We've got to compare every goofy thought to the mighty word of God. And when the goofy thought don't line up with the word, we got to kick that thought to the curb. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. She said, well, my dream seems so real. I said, I don't care what your dream seems. I've got the word of God. You're reading the word of God. There ain't nothing more real than the word. Kick that thought to the curb. Person said, well, I appreciate it, Pastor, but it just seems so real. I said, I don't care what it seemed like. It's just a trick of the devil. You got a good man, love God, coming to church, bringing his paycheck home, going to work every day. Man, please. I said, the devil is trying to deceive you. He's trying to trick you. Them thoughts ain't consistent with the word. And said, I'm going to go now. I said, listen to me. I said, I don't know how long it's going to take, but this is going to blow up in your face. It might take 6 months. I said, it might take a year. It might take 2 years. It's going to blow up in your face. And about 2 years later, I didn't know who was on my appointment calendar that day. I was seeing a bunch of people, and our assistant called and said, well, the next person is here to see you. I said, okay, send him on back. It was this person came in crying. I said, oh, it didn't work out. They said, you said it would blow up. You said it would blow up. They said, the same thing I did to my husband is the same thing another man did to me. Yeah. We better let every goofy thought be compared to the word of God, because the word is our standard, and the word can straighten out goofy thinking. Brother won't get no amen teaching like that, but it's true anyway. Sometimes the reason we're so susceptible to the tricks of the enemy is because we're not filled with his word. And we need to not just be filled with the Spirit, we need to be filled with the word. I said we need to be filled with the word and filled with the Spirit. Run a car low on fuel, it's going to run out of gas. Run a car low on oil, engine's going to lock up. You want to keep it full of oil, and you want to keep it full of fuel. I said, amen. So let his love reign in you. Let his peace rule in you. Let his word richly indwell you. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we've done our best to share what you've laid upon our heart in these moments that we've had to share from your mighty word. And now, Father God, we leave the word and its application to you in the life of each believer, in the life of each believer, and those who are not believers, because we know that you love them, and we know that Jesus died for them, and we know that if they'll acknowledge and accept your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, because he paid the price for them, he paid the penalty for their sins, we know that they can be born again, forgiven of their sins, have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. With every head bowed tonight, I don't know what you need from the Lord, but if you'll tell God what you need, God hears you when you pray. And if you need to be born again, or if you need somebody to pray with you, you want a prayer partner, I want you to get up out of your seat and come down here, because there are guys and gals who are prayed up. The men come to the men, the ladies come to the ladies, and they will pray with you about whatever you want. You want to pray about salvation. You want to pray about the baptism of the Spirit. You want to pray about healing. You want to pray about direction. You want to pray about a wayward child. You want somebody to agree with you. Come on forward, and these anointed prayer warriors will pray and agree with you. You won't leave here like you came. We thank and remember all of those who gave their life as we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, and we thank God for all who died to enable us to have such a peaceful freedom. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace to us in every area. Thank you for reinforcing this message with its relevant application in the life of every individual who hears it. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. Be here Wednesday for Hour of Power. Remember all of the announcements Pastor Tad made tonight, and we'll see you Wednesday for Hour of Power. God bless you. We love you.